Hour number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Friday. Hope you're having a good day so far. Chase McCabe alongside Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, TD still hanging out, and we're excited to have back on the show comedian TJ Miller, who is in studio with us. He's going to be at Zany's this weekend for sold out shows.
There is no reason
there you go.
For me to be here.
Yeah, people waited too long.
They waited too long, and I think you guys should be disappointed in yourselves because everybody's loving the shows. But you can't really love that you waited to purchase tickets.
I know.
Chase, you're invited. You can come to any show.
Thank you.
Okay. It's standing room only.
Yeah. I'll stand in the back.
But you can see over everybody. You're a tall guy.
I know. I got a great view of the stage. How much fun is Zany's, playing Zany's? Because it's so
really
intimate.
It's one of the best clubs in the United States. And it's fun because I improvise, so it's always different. But it has a balcony. It's a very, very big club. And last night, I was joking that there's this one guy who was lit, and he looked like a mafioso Don. And, like, he was looking down at me to decide whether or not he'd let me live, kind of. So I was joking about that. And I said, what's your name? What's your last name? And he was like, Marciano. And I was like, oh, that's hilarious. Don Marciano. And he was like, it's Dustin. And I go, what? And he goes, Dustin Marciano. And I go, yeah, I know. I didn't ask your first name. Everybody laughed. And then I realized he thought that I had incorrectly assumed that his first name was Donald. And that's why I was calling him Don. I was like, you're Italian and you don't know Don Corleone. Right, exactly. So that was pretty fun. But it's a great club. I riff a lot there. And I just came from Chattanooga. So I'm doing a lot of like Tennessee material, talking about Tennessee and how you guys are. In the afternoon, everything closes early because I guess you're allergic to money. I'm from New York. Like, I came in from New York, and it's like, we're like, what? You close at 4 p.m. on a Tuesday? What's going on with you guys?
McDonald's stays open.
Everybody, yeah, right, perfect.
That's why we're fat.
Yeah, so. That's all I wanted. No, but even the gun range was like, we already did last call. I'm like, what? Are you a bar? What's happening here? But I think we're going to take my wife is going to go. We're going to do a shooting range and then go to a sound bath afterwards.
Oh, nice.
So she's one of those women.
Okay.
The
all right.
Sound bath.
When you do a comedy club like Zany's, are Thursday nights different from Friday nights and Friday nights different from Saturday, meaning the audience? Because I feel like
once you
get into the weekend, you're like, I'm going to cut loose.
That's a good question because some people are like, oh, it must be a lot of fun. Thursday is really fun because it's people that are starting their weekend early. They're like, I'm not even going to wait until Friday to start partying. And they're really excited that the first people they want to see you, the first night that they're able to see you. And then Friday is kind of, people are a little sleepier. It's not bad, but they're kind of, the first show is just usually pretty tame, pretty reserved. And then the second show on Friday is like a all-out disaster. People are wasted. They're tired. They got off work and started drinking immediately, especially in Tennessee. It's like they just, the second they clocked out, they are just housing Surfside, you know, iced tea and vodkas, just drinking. And they go to dinner, but they don't really eat enough. And they're drinking at dinner. And then they come and they're so drunk. And so they're rowdy and yelling stuff. And so sometimes that feels more like crowd control. It's like performing in a zoo sort of. And then Saturday, the first show is usually fantastic. And the second show, they've had time to rest sort of. And so that second show on Saturday is usually really fun. But I sometimes like Thursday or Sunday shows the best because those people are a little not characteristic. They're kind of coloring outside the line, so to speak. But it's fun. Every show at Zany's is fun. And people yell at me a lot. Not just here, but in general. I don't know if I look like a guy that you want to yell at or something, but it is. It can get pretty rowdy at Zany's. But I like it. It's always Tennessee rowdy is kind of almost supportive rowdy. Like they're yelling so they, oh man, I love you, Deadpool, man. Yeah. Yeah. Like, all right, well, thank you. But it's a lot of fun. And I like Nashville a lot. I think, you know, sometimes you guys get a bad rap. It is a bit of a bachelorette party that has a city somewhere inside of it.
Pedal taverns.
Yeah, exactly. Tractor time. But outside of that, I have a great friend who's also our travel agent, and she lives here. And so we're going with her to this restaurant called Lyra tonight. And, you know, it's just, it's cool to see it through her eyes. Because if you go and you hang, and you see Nashville through a local's eyes, it's just a different experience than if you come here sort of as a... And I was on TV this morning with a young band called Sidecar, and they were sort of, they're aspirational musicians and the singer-songwriter guy. And I think that's cool. You know, I think it's cool to see all these, you know, young, talented musicians. And so I'm going to take Kate, that's my wife, Kate, I'm going to take her to Broadway during the day tomorrow. And I told her, you know, you're going to see musicians that are just as good as the musicians playing at night.
Yeah.
During the day, they just haven't gotten to that place where they're getting those nighttime slots.
I'm doing a Broadway day tomorrow, too, so we might run into each other.
Are you really? Where?
We're going to just bounce to different places.
Okay, yeah. I hope to see you. I thought you were going to do a remote. I was like,
No. We're
live from Kid Rock Studios.
My girlfriend
Chase
has
McCabe and No Big Joe. Still at home sick. Washing his hands over and over.
He needs to, probably. No, we're just doing
on
a day.
101 point wash.
When you do these kind of things, I know you like to riff on the audience a little bit. Do you scout out before, or do you just go up there and be like, this guy looks like someone I could take it to?
I usually, you know, I would only go out and look if somebody's like being disruptive or the comic before me is like, dude, you got to watch out for that table. But for the most part, I come out and it just strikes me right away. There's this guy last night, he had just this unruly wandering beard and long hair. And I said, you look like a guy who, if you don't play Dungeons and Dragons, you still know a lot about it. And then I said, and your hair and your beard look like they're in a race to get to your nipples. And I was like, your beard is so, it's growing at such a rate that it's starting to suck the mustache into your face to use that hair for the beard. That was Kate's favorite joke last night. But, you know, it's just, I do, people go, oh, you do a lot of crowd work. Kind of. I don't know that I've maybe asked people five times in my life, like, what do you do for a living? I just don't do that. But I talk about the crowd a lot, and I sort of improvise and imagine about the crowd, and that can be a lot of fun. But I was doing a lot of Tennessee material last night. I probably riffed like 30 minutes of the whole thing. And then I'm working on some newer – we're going to a new hour called TJ Miller, Much Darker. And so I'm doing some dark material about my mother's death and my mother-in-law killed someone and stuff like that. You know, just little kind of fun stuff. You know, so it's been really fun. But the crowds are so good here, so it's almost like they make you better. And I don't even mean I like think I need to rise to the challenge. You know, it's just they're so good that you sort of zero in and you end up doing the best performances that you possibly can do because it's such good. Such good audiences, but it's awesome.
TJ, I'm from an era like you got Sam Kinison, Andrew Dice Clay, Eddie Murphy,
for sure.
Richard Pryor, those types. This they probably couldn't exist in this era because everybody's in such a rush to be offended. And you talk about how sometimes like you'll get on the crowd. How have you managed to navigate those waters where like people want to be offended and are quick to be?
First of all, I love how you said that. That everyone's in such a rush to be offended. I've never heard anyone say it like that. Because
it's
true.
The truth. That's
the they're standing at the ready to have a reason that you've hurt their feelings and that they can, you know, become a victim in this situation. And I think, you know, the big thing for me is I don't really want to offend anybody. I'm really focused on making people happy because I think life is sort of fundamentally tragic and all of this is really either sad or scary or both. So I don't do, but I did a joke in Chattanooga and it was, so I can do it in Tennessee. And I said, you're all a bunch of these idiots. And then I go, oh, sorry. I know that we can't, use that word anymore. I feel like a real, you know, and then, everyone, but I thought, hey, it's Tennessee. They get the joke, but still in Chattanooga, they were like, we don't use the R word here. And so that was interesting too. But I don't really talk about many things that I think people would get offended about. So I don't have a lot of, and it just it's kind of, I mean I think you can imagine it's just it doesn't get you anywhere. Yeah. It doesn't really make you that many fans unless like that's your thing is being offensive, and it doesn't really do anything for me because I'm really focused on people having a great time. Like we were talking about this recently. with a couple other comedians, if someone's in like the front row and they're not having a good time, it's like impossible to ignore that person.
Yeah.
And so then I become so focused on getting them to have a good time. I have a friend, a comic, Cash Levy. I do a podcast with Cash Levy called Cashing In with TJ Miller. And it's an interview show, but he's had a tough time getting interviews, like guests. So I've been the only guest on the show for 7 years. And I, to me, the, it's, I don't know how to say it, but I'm a guy who's focused on, like, Cash will be so distracted by somebody not having a good time on the show that he'll stop looking in that direction. Mm. He'll just play to the other side of the room, which is too bad. But I'm really focused on making sure everybody has a great time. That's not going to happen. It's just statistically, there are going to be people that have a bad time at your show. But yeah, I don't really tread into the offensive world very often. People go, well, you know, with hecklers, are you mean? I kind of do. I do a good job with hecklers of sort of making them look stupid, but not being mean to them. Mm. Unless there are some white women, though, that you just have to tear down. They're so entitled, you just can't believe that they're still talking.
Especially here. I mean, in this city, there's so many of them.
Yeah, it is. It's a weird thing. It's always like kind of middle-aged white women. It's like white women in their 40s, sometimes 50s, and they just will not shut up. And so after a while, you have to get them. There's a girl last night, and she kept yelling and being mean, and I was like, you see how you're acting? This is why you're not in a successful marriage. And it's like everybody's cracking up. And then I'm like, look, you guys are laughing, but we all kind of know it's true. And then I go, because, you know, even if you do have a husband, every night he's kind of going,
what did
I could have done better. but it's, you know, no offense to white women. I married one for some reason, but... You know, it's a challenge in the sense that I don't ever want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Yeah.
But I have a responsibility to tell people to be quiet and to get, you know. And what I do that sometimes people get pissed about is I'll make fun of their city. You know, like I'll really go after the place where they live. And they don't get that I'm joking. And so that will make some people angry. Mm. They'll be like, don't talk about Nashville like that. It's like, guys, relax. I make fun of everything. That's the idea. That's another thing that I think is helpful is if you make fun of everybody. But it's so funny the different... In New York, we make fun of... We don't talk about anything. Like I was in London. I did a show and I made fun of some guy in the front row. And everybody's like, oh... Like, what is going on? It turned out because he was Indian, like everyone thought it wasn't okay that I made fun of him. Whereas in New York, you know, you're like, oh, this black guy probably doesn't want to be sitting that close to this Jew because he's got to keep his hand on his wallet. And it's like you kind of you're doing those jokes about everybody, so it's really not that big of a deal, you know?
Right, right.
But I think, you know, but I was in Dallas, Texas. I told this story recently. This is really amazing. So these two very flamboyant gay guys in the front row, and I'm doing jokes, and I see them. I mean, they look crazy. I mean, they're dressed like, whoa. And I go, oh, homosexuals. And all the crowd goes, oh. And I was like, guys, we're in Texas. They know they're homosexuals. I was like, you guys are homosexuals, right? And they're like, mm-hmm. And I turn to the audience. I'm like, you're the problem. I just correctly assess that they're homosexuals. You guys are like, he just called you gay, dude. Oh, my God.
He hit the little head sway.
Come on, guys. So yeah, it's a tough time right now for so many reasons. I think the really frustrating thing is, like, most people don't care. All the people online and those represent such a small minority.
Keyboard warriors.
They're just keyboard warriors, and you're going, what? And everybody else is like, okay, fine. Is it just a joke, you know? Mm-hmm. And I almost feel like Chappelle, I talked to him about this. I feel like Chappelle had a really tough moment where he felt so very much vilified and crucified. And he felt responsible to return and to address stuff. But he almost did too much of that. And everybody was kind of like, dude, why are you wasting our time with this? None of us care. We don't care. Mm-hmm. We don't think that you did this horrible thing. And oh my God, you made a joke about trans people and now it's going to happen. You know, and so that's another thing that can happen. You can sort of be attacked and then think, I've got to respond. It's like reading the comments about you. I mean, I can't even imagine how much you're reading comments, and they're like, he has this giant penis, he's so smart, he's hilarious.
They were talking about everything about sports.
Yeah, you get the exact same comments. Yeah. And so, do you have to dump that or no?
No, I think it's all right.
But yeah, I think if you look at the comments about yourself, it's just so much like vitriol.
I don't get on Twitter unless I'm doing the show, because it's just like I don't care anymore.
It could get
I try and do all output with my social media. I don't want to intake anything. I just want to be putting stuff out there. But you have to look at some stuff, and I say for every one nice comment, which there are, I just expect that there's going to be 10 terrible comments. But I think it really is all just noise, and we all know it, but we're sort of, that's what these social media, we're addicted to, like, hearing what people are saying about us, and then if they're being mean to us, we have to show face and say that. So that's what I love about doing stand-up, especially at Zany's, which puts your phone in a yonder case.
I love that.
I love it. And then so last night, my wife, Kate, got so pissed at me. But last night I said some stuff that I could not say. It wasn't like offensive stuff. It was like racist, weird, like,
yeah,
you know, I mean, it was against white women, but like, I said some stuff that I just couldn't say, and it was really nice. The audience was like, this is just refreshing that TJ is just talking about this thing and this Hollywood thing and this. And I think that's really nice. And I think people get to just stay away from their screens and like actually laugh.
Yep.
And not listen. Have to think about anything. Yeah,
yeah,
experience and just
listen. The moment. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm working on a joke. Just I riffed it last night about when you don't have your phone, it's so strange because you're like, what do I do now?
Hmm.
Do I talk to this person that I don't know? Or do I guess I can just think?
Hmm. Yeah. Look
at all the rafters in here. I wonder how many rafters you have. And so I like that's part of the experience there. And you get to eat like a 9-year-old.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, I like that. A little chicken tender.
I'm all about it. Yeah.
Tendies?
Yeah. I mean, he can just tell. Speaking of childhood, I mean, I grew up with your voice on my television. Gravity Falls is one of my favorite shows of all time.
Oh, you must be autistic.
Yeah, a little bit. Not actually. What was that process like, doing voice work for that?
That was really, really good. And I was joking just then, but it's true. It's like my wife's best friend's brother is severely autistic, and he watches Gravity Falls over and over and over again. And I think really smart kids love Gravity Falls because there's so much there. It has so many layers to it. I was in How to Train Your Dragon, and then I started to get more and more voice work. And people say my voice is very famous, but people say that my voice is so distinct. I can't really hear that. You know how you don't really hear your own voice. But thank you, clove, cigarettes, marijuana, and yelling ended up being the good stuff. That ended up helping me make rent. But you know, you go in there and they have the script and you read the lines, but then I improvise.
Yeah.
So I would just improvise. And because it's all digital, you can do, I love it. Because you do a movie or on TV, you get like three takes or five takes. If you're lucky, six takes or something. But with voiceover, you can do 10, 15, 20 different sort of shots at making it happen. And so it's really freeing. Sounds so stupid, but it's really cool. It feels like you can take anything and run with it for any distance. So
yeah,
it was good. But thank you for saying that. Yeah, this kid came up to me. He was working at comedy club. I forget which one, but he came up and he goes, dude, you're the voice of a generation. And I was like, that's the nicest thing. He was like, no, I'm serious. Like, all of us listened to you growing up.
Yeah.
And it's pretty weird to think about that. And one guy goes, oh, yeah, you're in Yogi Bear 3D. And I was like, yeah, but I was like a real person in that. the guy stops and he goes, yeah, but you're still using your voice, right? I was like, yes, I'm still using my voice. But yeah, I mean, and I love that, but I pay attention to people's voices a lot. Like, you have a very specific radio voice. That's why I like doing radio a lot, is because two reasons. One, because I have a lot of respect for radio because it's improvisation.
Yeah.
Also, and are we in the third hour? You said. I mean, you're doing hours of just riffing. You know.
Yep.
And it's podcast. I'm like, no, because podcasts a lot of times people want in radio. You can't leave any dead air. You can't just be quiet for like 10 seconds. That's not going to work at all. And then also, I just love voices. I love people's voices, and the best voices are in radio. But yours is interesting because it's low. It's not super gravelly, but it does have some, like, you know, gravelly qualities to it. And then there's this guy, Gino, in Chattanooga, and he's on, like, a top 40 station. His was really weird because it wasn't low at all or gravelly, but it was sort of smooth. It was kind of, you know, a little bit higher register, but, you know, he felt kind of like he was about to put on the hits and take off your pants. So that was really interesting. Yeah, right.
So you're Zanies tonight and tomorrow.
Sold out shows.
Sold out. That is fantastic.
Don't even try and come and see the show. You can stand outside and cry, but that's about it.
You can also check out Smooth Peanut Butter, which you actually recorded at Zanies
in Nashville, and I have a special on my channel called Dear Jonah, and that was filmed in Nashville at Zanies as well. So I love it here. I don't know what's going on.
Well, we love you.
Got to get on one of those barrel tractors.
We'll look for you on that tomorrow. TJ, good to see you again. Thank you so much
for
doing this.
Thanks for having me. And I just want to ask you, what's your favorite place to shop?
My favorite? I don't like to shop
at all.
That much. Not really.
Do you
Target?
Do it on the internet?
I mean, yeah. I go to Target.
I was going to say, I feel like you're a guy who kind of just gets whatever and you make it work.
I do. That's 100% true.
That's how he is the boss.
I mean, these are free shirts, so I wear these
all the time.
Yeah, I mean,
but like, you're styling and profiling.
Oh, well, I appreciate it.
And you've got this air about you that says, I don't care and I'm not going to.
That's pretty accurate.
True. I just feel like he's a college kid. Yeah, so. I feel like you grab whatever, throw it on, and you're like, this is working.
100%.
It's the swagger. It's that gigantic radio-voiced penis. Thanks, guys. I'll not see you at Zanies. Tonight, 2 shows sold out. Tomorrow, 2 shows sold out. You can get my peanut butter or my hot sauce at www.tjmillerdoesnothaveawebsite.com. Teenage Millionaire on Instagram. Not TJ Miller on the artist formerly known as Twitter. And subscribe to my YouTube channel. I just released a special called The Philosophy Circus, which is a lot of fun. Juggling, audience member plays trombone. Terrible ventriloquism, which you're into. Look at this guy. And thanks for having me.
Thank you, TJ. Appreciate it.
Tell Joe to wash his hands.
I will. Don't worry. TJ Miller, he'll be at Zanies this weekend. It's sold out. We'll have more coming. Chasing Big Joe here on 102.5 The Game.